Welcome back to Goodfellows Podcast, Innovation Discussed. And to our listeners, when you get this podcast, you'll actually probably notice that there's a bit of a new look and feel to the podcast, and we're going to talk about that a little bit as we go through. With me today, as ever, is Dr. Aphrodite Tamou. Hi, Aphrodite.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I am a little bit stressed today, though.
Oh, why?
Because we've got guests today.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
We've got the bosses in the room.
I know.
We've got introducing to our podcast as a first-time guest, I think, Simon.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
Yeah, no, I'm good, thank you.
So we've got Simon Kenny, who is Goodfellow's CEO, and we've got my boss, Claire Hartley, who is our Chief Marketing Officer. Hi, Claire, how you doing?
Hi, everybody. Hello, podcast listeners. Lovely to meet you.
There you go. Cool. Claire, I never realised you had such a voice for radio.
There we go. Many talents.
So we're going to be talking through some big news for Goodfellow today. But before we get too far into that, because Simon and Claire, you're new to the podcast, new to our listeners. Simon, can you give us a little bit of a just an introduction and a bit of a history of you and your role here?
Of course. Thanks, Mark. I've been with Goodfellow now for, almost 8 years. The time has flown. Prior to that, I worked for a large FTSE 100 company in many, many roles, primarily sales and product management. And the journey through Goodfellow was through sales director and more recently a CEO since September 21, when we were acquired by Battery Ventures. So that's pretty much me.
That's good. It's been quite a career path. It's been good fun. And 2.5 years into our relationship with Battery as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going very, very well. You know, I think having a transatlantic partner is challenging, but they're certainly good for us and investing in the business.
Excellent. That's great. And Claire, welcome to the podcast. And as a first time now, you and I spend a lot of time on calls together and talking to each other. So I know you quite well. But for the purposes of our listeners, can you just give us a little bit of your background and your role here?
Of course. No, you're more than welcome. So a lady never likes to admit her age, but I've been working in marketing for 28 years now, and I'm really lucky that I absolutely love my job and I'm really passionate about customers, experiences, and actually business transformation. My career has been quite varied. I've worked across lots of different sectors, businesses. I've worked in business models, consumer models, high tech, fast tech, manufacturing consumer goods, from global PLCs to smaller startups and probably everything in between, to be honest, all leading me to Goodfellow. And I've been here for over 10 months.
It's brilliant. Yeah, you've been here a while. Now it feels like you've been here forever from my perspective. I know a lady never reveals her age, but I know you're the same age as me. But I've never told the podcast listeners how old I am, so you're all right still.
Thank you very much. It's very polite.
So, and also a fun question I like to ask new people on the podcast is just what's one thing about you that your colleagues don't yet know because you're about to reveal it to me?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm a fairly open book, I like to think, so there shouldn't be too much that you don't know about me. But back in 1979, so I'm really revealing my age now almost, I met Prince Charles at the Devon County Show, and he turned to a very young me at that point and asked me, he said hello and then asked me if I'd spent all my money, and I was like, oh gosh, is this a lead-in to him maybe lending me a few pounds? But it wasn't. And I had spent all my money, but it was really nice to meet him. And obviously he was an awful lot younger, and he was Prince Charles then, not
Prince
King Charles.
Prince Charles as he was. I've actually met him as well, but when I was a bit more grown up in another life, and he came to a brewery I was working at, and to get on the tour around the brewery with him as part of the entourage, I had to have the media badge on because we'd already used up our employee passes for being on the tour. So I had media badge on, and he ignored me the whole way round because he said media. And at the end, my boss at the time said to Prince Charles, "Will you shake Mark's hand?" And he kind of looked at me and went, "Why am I shaking the media's hand?" It was quite funny.
Oh, dear.
And Claire, what about yourself? One fun question from you.
Wow. So let me think. I'm not sure if I'm that much fun, actually. I'm a mum, so I'm passionate about my family. I have two dogs, which all the team know, and my love of the outdoors. I suppose the only thing that the team don't know is that I have a penchant for interesting or fun-filled activities. Above and beyond the list you already have is I actually go indoor skydiving a couple of times a year. Wow. And for those listeners who haven't tried it, just make sure you don't have too much drink or a full tummy, because it is tummy turning when you're a newbie. So it's all good fun.
There you go. See, there's things that I learn as well, still every day. It's brilliant. Unfortunately, she's not given me anything to actually use against her in the future, though. It's a bit of a shame. So carrying on into the podcast itself, before we get to the main story that we're here for, Aphrodite and I always pick a bit of a new story to look at and have a chat about. And you picked one this week for us, or this month for us, Aphrodite, which I'm quite interested in, about these revolutionising plastics and sugar-based plastics.
So there has been a research at the Laboratory of Sustainable and Catalytic Processing on the Institute of Chemical Sciences and Engineering at the École Polytechnique de Lausanne. In Switzerland.
Right.
All right. So there is a process from which you can derive polymers like polyamides using sugar core materials, all right, so from waste. So from agricultural waste. So it's very interesting, because this method not only leverages, let's say, a renewable source, because sugar is a renewable source, and especially from agricultural waste, but also achieves the transformation so efficiently and with minimal environmental impact. And what I'm saying from so efficiently is that the efficiency of the process is 97%, so almost everything that is input, you can input in the process, all right, to synthesize these polymers, it comes out as a product. Okay. Which is amazing, actually. That's very amazing. It's so efficient. I haven't heard that in chemistry or anything else, especially in catalysis sometimes, yes, but this is amazing, an amazing result. So the result, bio-based polymers, they have similar, actually, properties with the traditional polymers, yet that you're doing it chemically synthesized and not with, let's say, sustainable materials. And why this has, let's say, gathered my attention is because in recent years, sustainability, not only for, let's say, in the industry, because how we can recycle our metals, what we can do so we will be paper free, but also materials that they are produced from recycling methods or recyclable, let's say, raw materials or raw sources is very, very important nowadays. Yeah. Is a key challenge in the industry, but at the same time a driving force for every single industry. And these polyamides, they are usually, let's say, like nylons, and they're used everywhere, from consumer goods to aerospace to inks, paints, almost everywhere. And yes, Goodfellow has a great range as well.
I was going to say.
I saw your face. That's why I said it.
You saw it. Well, actually, what was going through my head was I was going to be a bit mean. I was going to sort of test Simon on his knowledge of our plastics.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
I mean, that's fascinating in itself, the sustainability, because
yes,
plastics is a big problem for society in general.
Actually, yes, and I have forgotten to say that the team has also run and conducted an analysis of the life cycle of the assessment and everything, and it shows that it's a global warming potential reduce of up to 75% if that we will use these plastics that they have just invented.
Okay, so this is definitely a story to
exactly
to follow going forward. And if anybody who's listening is interested in what the range of plastic products that Goodfellow sells, you will be able to find that on our website, www.goodfellow.com. Now, talking about the website and talking about sugar, because I'll tell you, this project, I think, has led me a little bit into diabetes, because I've consumed so much sugar while we've been going through what we're about to talk about next. But the website itself, we're moving forward with the look and feel of our website and the company brand. So it's quite an exciting time, Simon. We're actually stepping in. So when this podcast goes out, we will have rebranded the company and launched a brand new website.
We will have, yes.
I know, and it's been quite a journey, I think, for all of us involved in this process. But before we get too far into that, tell me, talk me through why the company decided it was time for a new website and a new brand.
Yeah, probably the simple answer is because Claire told me it was time.
So that's how she works with me as well.
No, in reality, look, we've been around as a business in our current form since 1967. And the last time we rebranded, I believe, was 1978. So just a year before I met Prince Charles,
which is a nice
link there. But there was a need for us to look at the branding. And there's no secret that we're looking, part of our strategy is looking at expanding our product range, either organically and or through acquisition. So what I wanted was both a website and a brand that could grow with us. We already have 170,000 plus products on the website, and that's expanding very quickly. So ease of selection is really important. And linking that with a dynamic visual identity that could potentially bring in other brands underneath it was important for us. So that was the thinking behind it, and I hope everybody that's listening likes it. Please do go and have a look at www.goodfellow.com.
I think we've said it so many times recently.
I think please have a look and let us know your feedback.
And what are you most excited about when we launch?
Yeah, I think the striking visual identity is great, but really the simplicity and the use of the website will be changing for our business significantly, and helping our customers to easily select the product that they want, and at the same time it showcases some of the other capabilities of the business. So a lot of people don't realize that not only do we offer 170,000 products, specialist technical products and materials, we also provide technical solutions. Now, what does that mean? It means that you can take any one of our products and have it customized to you, or talk to us about any of your material requirements. And we have some incredibly clever people in our business, like the young lady opposite me and others, that are able to work with you to give you exactly what you need. And our new website showcases that brilliantly and enables you to either select a product that you can have for immediate dispatch from our stock, or talk either through live chat or through various other means to our technical team. So I think that really is a game changer for us.
Brilliant. And it is quite exciting to be looking forward to this going live. I can't wait for it.
And Simon, I will take the compliment for my age, all right?
But I mean it.
Well, I'm not anyway, thank you. But following whatever you have said about rebranding in 1978, I would like to ask Claire, what is your inspiration behind the design and what were the considerations in coming up with our new identity? Could you please talk a bit about it?
Yeah, of course. So I think I mirror absolutely what Simon said to the word. And I think that what we also do from the branding is to reaffirm with our customers that Goodfellow is the right supplier, while also being core to our true values, and now is the right time. The inspiration behind the new design actually came from the very baseline shapes of our products at a nano, microscopic and macroscopic level. I hope I've described that correctly.
Yes.
Aphrodite.
And I am astonished. It's amazing, actually.
Don't ask me to write any kind of technical documentation, please.
I will review it afterwards, you know that.
So they came out in a range of different forms, but those specifically are those that we were interested in, those which are of what I'd call near spherical form. So we sell a range of products that shape actually corresponds to. So whether it's rods, tubes, balls, beads, and a whole range of others in a variety of materials. And we thought that was a really strong synergy for us. So these spheres are collated together for our brand icon, which is the new G, which hopefully you've all seen and hopefully enjoy. So we thought about what the visuals presented, and we wanted our strap line to be informative and memorable. And the colours hopefully will create recognition moving forward and reinforce our authenticity And we wanted it to ultimately feel it represents us moving forward into the future. Oh, and we've actually also had some early testing with customers and our partners, haven't we, Mark? And we've had some really positive feedback already.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of testing with the partners, and we had a couple of obviously this, by the time this goes out, it'll be a couple of weeks beforehand. But yesterday, at the time of recording, we presented to our channel partners and got some really good feedback as well. So really happy with that. And obviously, Claire, the big news is the website, because that's the thing that's going to stand out most to our customers. What do you think our customers can look forward to the most? What's going to be the features that they're going to enjoy?
Well, I think a new website is always really exciting for customers, I think. And our whole website has actually been designed around our customers and their experience with Goodfellows. And we wanted to replicate that online where possible. So our objective was really kind of focused around core things, making it easy for our visitors to find and get what they want quickly and easily, and for us to support them at every step. So we know that it's going to be built on a best-in-class platform. We think our customers, and we know our customers, are really going to enjoy a fast and accurate search, intuitive navigation, high-quality content, fast loading speed, which is important. And our products are really easy to get to. We've got a range of detailed information about their attributes and the tolerances. We've got technical data sheets available, and you can request safety data sheets too. They'll also be able to save the products that they're interested in into their wish list, which actually appears in their account. And the account does the typical things that we would expect in a best-in-class experience. And as just to reinforce what Simon said earlier, we also highlight a number of services that many customers didn't realise that we offer. We're also making quotes easy. So really easy to request, and they can engage with us via contact and live chat. And of course, we've got valuable content that continues. This is our podcast, like this one, obviously, Thought Leadership. And in the future, we'll be including new content like webinars and other great content too. So what I think that what I'd just like to say here is that our customer experience is fit for all, whether you're a super user that is on the internet frequently through to those who keep away from it as much as possible. It's been created in mind for everybody, and ultimately we know that our customers are going to have a best-in-class experience.
I think that's brilliant, and there's so many features going to be available to the customers on there that I think everybody who's going to be using it is going to be having a great time.
Good.
It's good that we took consideration for all our customers. Oh, thank you very much. However, Simon, how do you feel about the new brand that reflects our core values and the company's mission? What could you tell us about it?
As you know, Aphrodite, one of the core things that I wanted to look at as in my time here is innovation. And driving through innovation, innovative new products, and many of our customers are leading with innovation in terms of research and development, and using our products to facilitate that. I wanted a brand that would show that would show the quality, and I think the new multifaceted brand does that. I think it looks modern in the way that we're driving this business as well. I think it reflects the quality of the business, and certainly it looks bright, and which I'm sure you'll agree with me reflects some of the quality of the technical ability that we have in the business certainly. So I think, you know, we wanted something as well that reflected kind of the number of products that we have and the capability, and again this builds I think that it really does show that as we go through.
I'm pretty confident as well that Claire and her team has done an amazing job. So Claire, what impact do you think this is going to have on our customers and the industry actually?
I think, well, firstly, our customers are going to be delighted, and they're going to come back again and again due to the great experience, and they'll also get great value out of the content that we are producing. Our website also reinforces us in our leadership position, and we're also a great partner for distributors, and featured brands globally.
I have seen the website and it's looking completely beautiful and amazing and very easy to use, so it's user-friendly. So thank you, Claire and Mark and the rest of the team for doing that job as well.
That's brilliant. And I think I've got one more question to ask before we start to wrap the podcast up. I'm a little bit nervous about asking this one because
I can't wait to hear it.
So, I mean, we've worked quite hard on this and it's been a huge project, Claire, that you've been in the front of since you joined the business about 10 months ago. And apart from the paddies that I've had at you sometimes during this project behind closed doors, have you got any behind the scenes stories that stand out during the process?
Oh, well, you know, without sounding trite, I really just think that the success of this project is down to a couple of things, really. We had a clear vision. We couldn't have done this without the team. And that team's not just the marketing team, it's our IT team, it's our suppliers who've actually supported us to see this through. It's been really hard work, but it's been worth it. And we're really proud of it and the work we've done. So not giving you anything that's really fun, but I'm just kind of telling you how it is.
Have there been any standout stories for you, Simon, in the process as we've been going through?
No, I think that I've been in our US office for the last couple of weeks, but coming back and walking down through the office and seeing that everybody is working on some facet of the website, whether it's content, language, the technical aspects, it has been great for me. And I'd like to echo what Claire says in terms of the hard work that's gone into this. We're still running a business and at the same time developing and producing a website that is best in class. So and that doesn't just happen. That's a lot of dedication and hard work and many, many hours put in by a lot of people. And so I'd like to publicly thank all of the team that have delivered this.
Absolutely. And I think it has been brilliant because this has been one of those projects where nearly everybody, as you both say, in the business has come together to make this project work. So the reality of it and bringing it to life, absolutely amazing. Okay, so I think it's probably time to bring this episode of Innovation Discussed to an end. Website's now live. Mm-hmm. Brand is now live. We're out in the open. We're into April. Claire, I'll start with you. What's coming up in the next month for you? What's happening now that we've got this project out of the way?
Well, it's never out of the way, Mark, ever. It's always about improving, optimising, all of those things.
She will not give me any time off.
Well, it's all about ongoing improvement. So I think I'm really looking forward to the customers using and enjoying the site. And I'm also looking forward to probably mapping the future just to improve our customer engagement across new content, as I said before, and delivering on new project launches. But personally, I'm really looking forward to spending quality time with family and my French and my Labrador, as I said earlier, because I love the fresh air. But I'm also planning a long weekend visit to Venice, which is long overdue, but I love absorbing the culture and the food and everything else that goes with that. So I suppose that's where we get up to this summer, I think, really.
Brilliant. No, that's fabulous. Simon, what about you? What's coming up in the next month for you?
Oh, gosh. Lots and lots of meetings, as I'm sure you can imagine. I'm sure you don't want to know that. But I'm also hoping, I've just recently been visiting some customers, and I'm hoping to get out and see some more customers. I do love going back to my sales routes, visiting customers, talking to them about the applications and how they use the products. So I'm hoping, particularly with the lighter nights and the hopefully sunny weather that we're going to get here in the UK, that I can get out on the road. That would be great.
I read something somewhere, and I don't know how true this was, but I think it was a farmer that said it was basically we get the same average amount of rainfall per year regardless. So if you have a lot at the start of the year, we're going to have a drier and warmer summer.
Let's see if we will have a summer. Yeah, we certainly had a waterlogged February, didn't we?
And Aphrodite, what about yourself? What's coming up next month?
Next month is going to be very, very interesting, actually, because probably we're going to have some new innovative materials that we're going to bring in with collaboration with several British universities, for example, Manchester, Cambridge, Oxford. But I'm not going to say everything because I want everybody to come on our website and look at it and visit our website constantly and give us feedback and also get this, you know, the whole experience about our new website, which is going to be amazing. I'm sure about it. I'm really, really glad. We also have exhibition So materials, advanced material show. So this is going to be the next month, which I'm looking forward to it, not only to do the discussions with the panelists and be a part of a panel,
so
but also,
yes,
me and Adam,
and
actually.
Adam, who's not joined us today, but we'll be talking at Advanced Material Show.
Exactly. Yeah. But also get updated for the new innovations and new technologies around material science. So I'm looking forward to it.
Fabulous. Excellent. Well, that just about brings us to the close of the episode. Thank you all for joining. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Claire, for taking part today. To our listeners, please do go and have a look at the new website, and we would really appreciate the feedback. We'd like to know how your experience with the website is. You can feedback via the live chat channel that's on there. You can email us on info@goodfellow.com or marketing@goodfellow.com, or contact us on one of the social channels. And if you've got any questions for myself, Aphrodite, or Adam for a future episode of the podcast, do use the same channels to let us know. Thanks all.
Mark, can I sing now?
You can now sing.